In Matthew 4, we see that there's a crowd following Jesus. And we understand from the text, the reason they're following him is that he's begun his ministry at this point. He's begun calling disciples to himself to follow him. And he's also begun healing the sick. He's begun working miracles for those that were downtrodden, for those that had nowhere else to go. They were flocking to Jesus and seeing miracles happen, seeing lives turned around. And he was preaching to them. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So these people were intrigued by this. They wanted to hear more about what this means, what the kingdom of God means, and who is this Jesus who's teaching it. So as they follow him, he saw the crowds, went up on a mountainside, and sat down. And in doing so, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And then we have the rest of the Beatitudes, is what they're called, as we go throughout verses 1 through 12. But today, before we read that, I want us to understand that there's a key word in here. You'll see it a lot, and that word is blessed. You'll see it time and time again in the Beatitudes. And so I want us to talk a little bit about what does that mean? What does the word blessed mean? Because you may have heard it in a couple different ways, right? It may be, we need to bless the food, or bless you when somebody sneezes, or the most dangerous of all, bless their heart. If you hear that, duck, because whatever's about to come out of their mouths is not going to be pretty. But whatever it means, I believe it means something very different to Jesus in the way that he said it than what it means to us in the way we think in the world. And so today, as we go through this, be on the lookout for the things that Jesus says about this word blessed, about what it means to be blessed. And then we're going to think and look at how we define that word so often. So with that, let's read Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Before we go any further, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we study this text this morning, that you would teach us more about your words, that you would help us to understand what it means to be blessed, and that we would live that out in our lives as we understand that our blessing is found most clearly in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the first section here, where it starts talking about blessing, I would like to break it down into three main sections. The first is verses 1 through 6. And in these verses, we see, blessed are those who are down and out. That's really what Jesus is saying. And if we look at that, that's not something we would normally think of in our world or our logic. When we use the word blessed, we typically are referring to some kind of monetary gain, some kind of internal peace that we have, something that brings us happiness. Because the word blessed, it means those who are or will be happy, fortunate, or as those who are to be congratulated because of God's response to their behavior or situation. So we typically define blessed as the first part of that definition, happy or fortunate. We like that part. But when we go on, we see that Jesus's definition of blessed is quite different. So when he says, blessed are those who are down and out, the world says to that, no, blessed are those who have it all together. You need to understand, and we need to understand as we look at this, that when Jesus was talking and these crowds of people could hear him, these were people who understood God through the religious context of the Pharisees. These were people who said, you have to have it all together to be blessed. You have to do the right things. You have to say the right things. You have to live this certain way within these rules and regulations. And in doing so, you'll be blessed. That's what the Pharisees taught. And really, you can see how that's still true in our common logic today, that if you do the right things, you'll stay out of trouble. You'll be blessed. There'll be good things come your way. almost this version of karma that we like to think of, that if we do good things happen to us. This leads to a works-based view of discipleship that is exhausting and hopeless. Because what we find at the end of the day is that nobody has it all together. That's the biggest secret in the world. There's not one person on this earth that has it all together. And I can't help but think back to a time in my family where we, once a year, it was really important to my mom that we got together and we got a family photo. I know these are important probably to many of you in here, and it's a wonderful thing. We send it out to grandparents. We put it on calendars, on mugs, on, you know, throw pillows, whatever we've got. It's family photos that we're going to use for the rest of the year. And so that family photo, there's so much pressure on it to look just right. And inevitably, in my family, maybe this is just us, I have two brothers, and inevitably, family picture day was the day we were going to have the biggest fight of the year. Every year. Didn't matter what was happening, what was going on. When it's time to get in the car for a family picture, we're throwing punches. I remember one year in particular that I was so angry with my brother as I was shaving my face, I cut myself. So then I was angry and I was bleeding. So I had to take a tissue with me to the family picture, and we're like, you know, grumbling, wiping blood. And then the photographer's like, all right, smile, cheese, click, on to the next one. And to me, that is a picture of what the Pharisees were like. They were so concerned with how they looked on the outside. They wanted to clean up the outside. They wanted to have that perfect family picture. When people looked at them, they saw righteousness, they saw goodness. But just below the surface of that picture, that exterior, was this inward turmoil, this sinfulness that is true in all of us. So the Pharisees realized, as we realize today, nobody can do enough good to outweigh their sinfulness. Nobody can clean up the exterior enough to make up for the fact that on the inside, we are all sinners who've fallen short of God and his glory. What Jesus says to this is, blessed are those who are struggling. And that's a beautiful picture, because Jesus recognizes we all sin, we all fall short of his glory, and he offers his righteousness to us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This refers to those who do not hope in their own righteousness, who realize that they can't clean themselves up enough to earn God's favor and have stopped trying and instead look to his righteousness for their hope. And the promise that goes with this, it says, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to draw your attention to the word is, because every other line in the Beatitudes other than verse 10 talks about a future blessing. This is present tense. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That when we understand our moral bankruptcy and we understand that we can do nothing to clean it up and we rely on Jesus for his righteousness, we inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is a fantastic blessing. Even though most of us looking on the outside would want to be, we want to have it all together. We want that. But when we understand that we can't have it, that's when we're blessed. That's when Jesus says we inherit the kingdom of heaven. This is in direct conflict with what the Pharisees were teaching. Disciples of Jesus, then, as we understand what it means to be a disciple, the disciples walk, disciples of Jesus will be blessed. Often this is an eventual blessing, like we're going to learn in the following verses. Also, there's often struggle that comes with this blessing. There are difficulties that arise with it, but God gives us the grace we need to get through it. Those who are down and out are those who need God and his grace, and that is offered. Look at the words that Jesus says about those who are down and out, those who mourn, those who are meek, which is those who are gentle. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which implies that they haven't yet tasted it. They're still longing for it. None of us would want to wish those things on ourselves. But in doing so, in having those things in our lives, we get to see more clearly how Jesus satisfies those needs. We see that when we mourn, we shall be comforted. When we're meek, they inherit the earth. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll be satisfied. And this is not because of anything we can earn, but because of what he gives to us freely. So my question for you in looking at the first section is, are you down and out? Are you in a place of mourning today? Are you in a place of realizing that you can't earn God's love and that frustrates you? If so, good, because Jesus tells us in that place we are blessed. The second section that Jesus takes us to is, blessed are those who keep the peace. In verses 7-9, blessed are those who keep the peace. And this again is in opposition to what the world teaches, because the world tells us, blessed are those who get ahead. You may have heard some of these phrases before. Don't get mad, get even. Nice guys finish last. A lot of times our world teaches that don't worry about keeping peace with others. Do what you need to do to elevate yourself, whether that means stepping on those around you, whether that means living as an island where you're looking out for number one and nobody else, whatever the case may be, put yourself ahead. Get ahead. The issue with this is that the things of this world are temporary. So in chasing those things, you might get some of them. You might get ahead. You might climb the ladder. You might elevate yourself. But in doing so, you're going to realize at the end of it all, those things are temporary. Jesus looks at us and says instead, blessed are those who live with integrity. He calls us to choose mercy, purity, and peace over self-promotion. Disciples of Jesus are called to live at peace with others. This is a view, understanding that we are loved, that we are forgiven by God, that God has given us mercy, and as a result, we give mercy to those around us. We forgive those around us. That is what Jesus calls us to. That's what he says. Those are the people he says will be blessed. I think of a story that I heard of two runners competing in a cross-country race. One runner was a 12th grader, and one was a 7th grader. And this was like a regional race. This wasn't just a normal race. This was towards the end of the season. These girls had worked hard throughout the year to run, to train, to qualify for this regional race. And as they were nearing the finish line, the 7th grade girl was out ahead of the 12th grader, and they were from two different schools in the region. The 7th grade girl was stumbling towards the finish line, and something went wrong. It was one of those things where at the end of the race, she'd given everything she could give. She couldn't quite finish. She stumbled. She fell down. She got back up. Meanwhile, there were people watching, including her parents, friends, family, all at the finish line, wanting to help, wanting to intervene to help her cross the finish line, but knowing that if they reach over the rope, if they step in, if they pick her up, then she's disqualified. Everything she'd worked for all year would be gone. So this girl continues to stumble, continues to fall, almost crawling towards the finish line. And then up comes this other runner. And without even thinking about it, without stopping, the runner, the 12th grader from another school, picks up the girl, helps her cross the finish line together, and in doing so, disqualified both of them. But what happened was she saw that somebody needed help. She was not concerned about her own race. She was not concerned about what it would mean. And actually, as a 12th grader, that ended up being the last race she would ever run in high school. So that was her final race. She was disqualified. But that, to me, is a picture of what Jesus is calling us to here. Blessed are those who keep peace. Blessed are those who are merciful. Because that means we don't elevate ourselves. We look for ways to elevate others. So today, are you a peacekeeper? Are there people or there situations in your life that you need God to come in and through you offer peace, offer reconciliation? If so, again, good. Because in doing that, Jesus says, blessed are the peacekeepers. The next section we see is verses 10 to 12, which really talks about blessed are those who are wronged for their faith. And that word wronged, I don't even know if that's strong enough because it's talking about persecution here. It's talking about people who are, in fact, hunted down for their faith. And I know that can be somewhat of a foreign concept to us. But when we look at persecution, when we look at even looking at the story of Stephen in the book of Acts, when he was martyred for his belief in Jesus, that level of persecution, Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are persecuted. And again, that doesn't make sense to us so often because we look at it and we go, but that's not how it should work. blessings mean good things. They mean happiness. Blessed should be the people who follow Jesus, and because they're following Jesus, things work out well for them. The world says, blessed are those with the respect of others, with prosperity and comfort, not those who are persecuted. Deep down, I find within myself a need and a desire for others' approval. Just a deep-seated need for other people to like me. And I think of my dad's dog. His name's DJ. DJ's a big dog. He's the most athletic dog I've ever seen. Like, he can be up the stairs in 2 seconds. You don't even know what happened. One time when DJ was growing up, he knew he wasn't allowed on the couch, like, to sit down, but he would get all wound up as a puppy, and he would run towards the couch. He would jump. He would put all four paws on the back of the couch, never touch the seat, spring off, and land back down. We were like, how did he even do that? This was DJ. So I just need you to understand, because my dad used to live in a big open field. Well, not in the field. He had a house. But his house was in the field. And in this field, there would be deer that would come up on the edge of the field, and DJ would chase the deer. And it was hilarious, because DJ couldn't catch the deer. He wouldn't know what to do with them if he did catch them, but he was right on their heels. And so the deer would run across the field, and DJ would come right behind him, chasing him. And he would turn and go back across the field, and here's DJ right behind him. And I think for me, that's a picture of myself in my needless pursuit of other people's approval. I chase it, and I chase it, and I chase it, and I can't quite catch it. And it's so futile, but I keep doing it anyway. And that's what DJ did. And it, to me, is a picture of this, because God never promises us that people will like us. In fact, he promises us the opposite, that we will face persecution. We will face people who don't like us purely because of what we believe, and even a step beyond that, who want to rid us of that belief and who actively pursue that end. That's what Jesus promises us here. And the issue with thinking that blessed are those who have the respect of others, who are liked, is that we as Christians are in the world, but we're not of it. And this is modeled most clearly through Jesus himself. If he himself was persecuted, then we can certainly expect to be persecuted for believing in him. Persecution reminds us that disciples don't follow God because of the good things that he gives us, but rather because of who he is. We're not blessed because God gives us the things that we want or the things that we need when we follow him. We're blessed because even in our persecution, he is there with us and he carries us through. He is worthy of our lives, of our service, no matter what. So today, as you sit here, are you persecuted? If so, Jesus tells us that you're blessed in that. We so often long for the kind of blessings that the world offers. Even now, as we go through this list, if we got to choose between persecution or the respect of others, or if we got to choose between mourning or rejoicing, we always choose the positive now. And I think that's fair. I think that's human. But as we look at that, what we need to understand is that discipleship of Jesus doesn't promise us those things. And so that begs the question then, why is being a disciple worth it? If it doesn't promise us promotion and health, if it doesn't promise us lack of mourning, joy all the time, or happiness all the time, rather, why is being a disciple worth it? And I think the answer is when we take a step back, when we look back at the Beatitudes, and we realize who is speaking. This is Jesus. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." And he can say that because everything that he said, blessed are, all the way down, he fulfilled every single one of those things. He was poor in spirit in the way that he humbled himself, took on physical flesh, came to live on the earth, lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death. He embodied what it meant to be poor in spirit. And because of that, we get the kingdom of God. He took the curse for us that we would be blessed. And so I want to go back and read through the Beatitudes one more time. And as we do, think about the fact that Jesus fulfilled everything on the left side of this column, the beginning, the blessed are the poor in spirit, the mourning, on down, so that we could share in his victory of everything on the right side of the column. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Our truest blessing in life comes in being a disciple of Jesus. He took all of our sin, all of our punishment, all of our shame on the cross so that we will be forever blessed as we enter into a relationship with a holy God. And so whether you feel that blessing, that happiness, that peace in a relationship with God now, or whether you're struggling right now and you're just holding on to the hope that one day you'll be able to experience it, we can trust that God is good, that God is with us, and because of Jesus, a relationship with him, being a disciple of Jesus, is the greatest blessing of all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you that this sermon is true because you were the one who originally spoke it. I thank you that we are blessed by following you because you give us yourself, that we enter into a relationship with you that we don't deserve, but you give freely because of who you are. I thank you that you give us your righteousness for our sin, your blessing for our curse. And I thank you that that gives us purpose, that gives us meaning, and that gives us value in our lives. I pray that you would allow us to see how you're at work and that you would allow us to take this blessing that you've given us and share it with those who need to hear it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Please stand.
now the benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.